God is faithful, and I am thankful for that. I hope you are also. It is good to be back with you. It's good to have you college students, or at least some of you back. Hopefully you had a great Christmas break. I know the professors, I've been talking with some of them. They're ready to punish you, and so be ready to go. And so we're just thankful that we're here. It feels more normal when you guys are here. It feels like it feels like church again, and so we're just grateful for that, and we're grateful for the season that we had, we are starting a new series, and we're going to be talking about which one are you, simple, wise, or a fool, a situational walk through Proverbs. And before we get there, I just want to pray. So if you would, bow your head with me. Father, we come, and we know that all wisdom comes from you. And we ask for that today, that you would provide us wisdom and insight and understanding from your word so that we can walk out of here just a little bit closer to you, a little bit better understanding of what you want from us. God, we ask that all of the things that are on our minds, our grocery list, our school list, our books that we have to purchase, maybe some frustrations that we just have, that we just lay them at your feet and just hear from your spirit. We invite your spirit here to move in our hearts, to transform us. God, let this not be the point that we have a sermon, but let this be the push toward transformation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this series really comes out of an early morning prayer time that I've been kind of forced to happen. I don't know if it's just getting older. I need to talk to these wise old people. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning. It doesn't mean I don't go back to sleep, but I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning, and it's like clockwork. Boom, I'm up, and I'm like looking around. A couple of days ago, the moon was, I thought I overslept because the moon was so bright. Anybody else have that experience? Yeah, it was crazy how bright it was outside. But this series came out of just my morning time with God, which I've really learned to appreciate, even though it's at 4 a.m., which is not my normal rhythm, but has become my normal rhythm. And so I was praying. I was like, God, this whole following Jesus thing, it's hard. I don't know how to do it all the time, and I don't like it. Sometimes I just don't like doing it. I don't know how to do this all the time. How do I take, I want to be close to you, I want to know who you are, I want to walk in your ways, but I don't know. And so I sat there for a moment. And the passage of scripture that kept coming to my mind, oh, the gate is small and the pathway is narrow and few will find it. It is this key to life. And it kept coming to my mind, that passage. And I'm like, okay, that's not helpful. God's okay with me being a little sassy sometimes, I think. I said, that's not helpful. Like, what do you want from me? Like, I don't know how to do this. And then it was like the Spirit of the living God was sitting on my bed. And he goes, are you following me in all the ways of your life? And I went, oh, what? What are you talking about? No, are you following me in every area of your life? No, not just believing in the Son, not just believing that I can do miracles, not just believing in this stuff, but are you following what I'm telling you? That's a different question. And I've been on this pursuit in my own life to figure out what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? Because I'm convinced in my own heart there are places where I'm a functional atheist. That's not easy to admit, but I think there's places where I am. I know what God says in these areas, but I choose not to do those things. Oh, I'm not talking about, do I believe in Jesus? You know, I'm not talking about this idea of, you know, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, the Lord, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. I believe that. I believe that. I hold to that. And those are good to hold to and to understand that. I'm confident in my theology, my knowledge of, and my understanding of. I'm not always confident in some areas of my life that I'm following God. And that's what this series comes out of, is how do we follow God in all areas of our lives? And I want to challenge you in this series. I want to walk with you in this series out of my own really devotional time, my own question of, am I living wise? Am I living simple? Am I living like a fool? And the answer to that question for all of us, not just me, is yes, I am. Because there's some areas in your life, I will tell you, that you're walking simply. And all that means in the Bible, when it talks about being simple, it means this. It means you're just living and reacting to life. You're just reacting. You're just going along. And there's areas of my life where I'm just going along and I'm just reacting of what comes at me. There are other areas where I'm wise. I'm obedient to what God has said to me and it through his word. And I've applied that. So wisdom in the scripture is knowledge plus application. Knowledge plus application. And then there's the fool. And there's some areas in my life where I've acted the fool. And so have you. And some areas where I'm foolish is I know to do right and I choose not to do it. That's the fool in the scripture. See, faith equals trust. Faith always equals trust. And trust equals obedience. It's always connected in that fashion in the scripture. It's not just this mental assent to who God is and what he has, but it is a walking with him in all that we do and all that we say. And so this series is really coming out of that idea. And what better place to go than to this wisdom book that we have? See, God talks to us and he speaks to us. And he speaks one of two ways to us. There are times where we have recorded in the scripture where God says, write to directly to someone, you should go and do XYZ. Or, hey, Moses, I am, right? Like, I'm God. Take off your shoes. The burning bush is here. And that's a direct communication. I don't know about you, but that doesn't happen that often to me. It's not a normative thing where you hear the very voice of God and he tells you, hey, you should go and do XYZ. It doesn't work like that. But there is this in the scripture where it's recorded, and I believe he still does that at times. He speaks directly to us. But it's not the norm. Otherwise, it wouldn't be recorded in the scripture. It would just be a Thursday, right? Like, it wouldn't be there, right? When he's speaking to Moses, it's recorded there so that we can see that God interacts, that God speaks in this way. The rest of the time, he gives us something called wisdom. He gives us his spirit to understand the reality in which we live, the reality in how we're supposed to live, and what his world requires. It's this ability to understand, to see the world, not with feelings, but with the truth of how it works. He gives us these whole books, wisdom literature, for us to understand this. And so we practice wisdom from God because all wisdom comes from God. All wisdom comes from him, and it's for our benefit. It's for our understanding. There are three wisdom books in the scripture, and they're specifically a type of literature within the scripture. And there's three of them. There's Proverbs. There's the book of Ecclesiastes, which is one of my favorites. And then there is the book of Job. And these are just focused wisdom, understanding. This is how this world's going to work. This is what you need to know. It doesn't give you, hey, you should get this degree. But it gives you wisdom of how to understand the world in which we live. And what we're going to spend most of our time doing is we're going to be walking through the book of Proverbs in a situational way. We're going to be looking at it through different situations that it gives us insight, gives us wisdom, what God wants for us in areas of our lives. The book of Proverbs is primarily written by a guy by the name of Solomon. There are some other contributors in there, but Solomon Just a little Bible history so you kind of catch up of where this is coming and who this guy is. He is the son of David, the son of Bathsheba and David. And he is he's a guy who gets to take over as king after King David dies. God comes to him, and he's going to be the king of Israel. And so he receives a direct word from God. It says that he's in, I think it's in 1 Kings where it talks about this, and he's taking a little slumber, he's taking a little sleep, and God comes to him, and I think it's in a dream, it doesn't say directly in a dream, but he comes to him in the evening, and God says to him, Solomon, you're gonna be king, you have basically one wish, what do you want? Kind of awesome, right? God doesn't normally work like that. God is not a genie in the bottle. But in this moment, he goes to Solomon and he says, you're going to be king. What do you want? You need to know a few more things about Solomon. He is about 12, 13 years old at the time this happens. Think about this for just a moment. Think about yourself as a junior hire. Just get that in your head. Junior hire. Decisions that you made back in junior high. This guy is going to lead a nation. He's going to lead a nation of God's people, and he's a junior hire. Some scholars believe he might have been 16 or 19. It doesn't really matter, does it? This guy is young. And God comes to him and says, you're going to lead. What do you want? And Solomon, he's like a junior hire, and he says, I'd like wisdom. I'd like wisdom. So my daddy has given me this, and this is your people, God. I want to lead them well. Can I have wisdom? I don't know if I would ask for that, right? Like, that's an amazing junior hire that would say, hey, I need to know how to lead these people. I need to know what you want from me. Can you give me wisdom? God replies to him, I'm going to give you wisdom. Because you didn't ask for money and honor, I'm going to give you those too. And so Solomon is the wisest man to ever live, is what the Bible tells us. He's the wisest one to ever live. He has insight into this world. He is the wisest. He's also, get this, the richest. The estimates on this is that he is worth about $2 trillion. That's a two, I believe you math people, with 12 zeros behind it. Can you imagine that kind of money? We can't even fathom that kind of money, right? This is how wealthy this is. And there's nobody that has been that wealthy. Nobody that's even close right now. Elon Musk, not that close, right? To that number. That's a huge amount of wealth that this man had. People from all over came. Egyptian pharaohs and leaders came to hear from wisdom from this guy. He was a junior hire. He was a young man, and he asked for this wisdom. And he wrote this book, Proverbs. He wrote this book, Proverbs, and he spoke of this. And you might be going, well, God directly spoke to him. And so, of course, he was wise. He asked for wisdom. God doesn't just like do that for me, right? We don't have like this opportunity where we're going to have a dream tonight and God's going to come and say, hey, what do you want? And we're going to say wisdom, right? Because we know that's a good idea, right? It's not like that, right? Look at James chapter 1. Do we have that passage? Look at what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So notice the first part of that. We all get to be Solomons. We all get to ask for this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. He's not stingy with it. He goes, hey, if you don't know, just ask me and I will give it to you. I will give you understanding. I will give you wisdom in whatever you're asking. I'll give it to you without finding fault. He's not like, well, you're not smart enough for that. I can't do that for you. Nope, nope, nope. No, he just goes, here you go. There is one caveat, though. If you look at that verse, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. What does he mean by that? What does James mean by that? It's in our world, we have a pluralistic understanding of some of this stuff. We go, well, the Bible is good and it gives us some wisdom, right? But so is Oprah, and so is this person, and so is this person, and so is this person. And this is what God says. Nope. If you come to me, you come to me. I'm the one who will give you the wisdom. I'm the one you ask. I'm the one that is the primary source in this. That doesn't mean we can't learn from other things. But when we go expecting God to answer. We go, because if you have a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of Oprah, a little bit of Dr. Phil, you know what you have? You're a wave blowing by the sea, jumping over here to Dr. Phil, then to Oprah, then to God. And he says, you're not getting anything. That's the caveat of wisdom, but we all have access to wisdom, just like Solomon. Is that not amazing? That's a promise of Scripture. We could stop right now. You could walk out of here and just go, man, I got something today. You have that ability. I have that ability to walk in that. So how do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? There we go. Someone got the lesson from James. Excellent. We ask for it. We have this ability and this concept of wisdom that Solomon prayed for it and he received it. We have an ability to ask for it. God is not stingy. He's willing. And so the Bible says about Solomon that he is the wisest man to live. Not only the wisest man, he's also the richest man. And so if I were to ask, or if I were to tell you that next week Dave Ramsey's going to come in and he's going to talk about money. It's free to you. What would you do? You would be here, wouldn't you? You would be here and you'd probably invite some friends. You guys know who Dave Ramsey is? Yes. Financial guru, teaches people how to use their money. I think he's worth $400 million, something like that. He is a very rich and wealthy man, but he has these really incredible concepts of how to take our finances and use them wisely. And so you would come and do this. Well, this is guys better, Solomon, that we're going to be walking through some passages of Scripture that God has given us through the work of his Holy Spirit, that he wrote these things down. This is the wisest and the richest man, and we're going to do this all through this series. His walk with Solomon as he gives us wisdom. One more caveat on the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is not a book of promises. It is how it usually works. And I can't give you a percentage, but you've heard things like, you reap what you sow. That's usually true, right? If you work hard, you plant the seed, something grows up. But, you know, in Little House on the Prairie, what always happened is a big storm and took all Pa's money, right? Sometimes it doesn't work out, right? It doesn't work out. It doesn't work exactly that way. But usually, if you plant and you work hard, you reap something that is good, right? And then there's always the caveat of the lazy sluggard who does nothing but walks to the convenience store and buys a Mega Millions and wins $1.1 billion. That's what it is right now, just so you know. I looked it up today, this morning. It's worth $1.1 million, and he wins it. And you're like, come on, God, that's not what Proverbs said. The sluggard shouldn't eat, right? If man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's what Proverbs says, right? And so it's not a book of promises. It's a book of a reality of with some caveats. There's some exceptions to it. There's some silliness that happens in this world. It doesn't work exactly like that. But 99% of the time, if you walk in the words of Solomon, guess what's going to happen? The truth of that will come out. There's passages of Scripture that say, Raise your child up in the ways of the Lord, and he will not depart from them when they are old, right? You do that when they're young, and they won't depart from it. And some of you go, well, that's not true. I did raise my kid up. It's usually true, and they will come back to it. And that's what you pray for. And you see, you've trained them up in the ways of God. They know the truth of that. And when the storm comes, where are they going to turn? I think they're going to probably turn back to God. So anyway, I needed you to have that. But this is a powerful understanding of how the world works in its reality. There are three main characters in the book of Proverbs. I've talked to you just a little bit about those. One, there are simple people. Simple people are people are that are not just thinking, they're just not thinking about their lives. They don't think, they just react. You know, you ever have some of you who have had kids, maybe a junior higher, and you go to them, why'd you do that? I don't know. Right? You're like, come on! I don't know. Right? And some of you, when you were junior high, answered the same way. And so he talks about, in this first part of Proverbs, he talks about these three groups. The simple, and he talks about the wise, and the wise are simply this. They understand the concept, and they apply the concept. Pretty simple. And then you have the fool, who understands the concept and doesn't apply it. They have knowledge of, but they don't apply it in their lives. And so those are the three that kind of walk through the book of Proverbs. So we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're just going to look at the first seven verses there. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here's that other character, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so you have this beginning of this chapter. These are the laws of life, and they are how things usually work. And so this question that just keeps coming up for me is, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you the simple? Are you the wise? Are you the fool? And it keeps coming back for me is, yes, I'm all three of those at times. I'm all three of those at times. And so the three things about wisdom is, we're going to talk about, there's three things about wisdom that I want to talk about this morning. But I need you to know this also first. Know that everything that God says, everything that is instructions of how to live is for your good and my good. It's always for our good. Everything that God says is for our benefit. Why? Because God loves us. God loves you. He loves me. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He's a God who wants you to live and to thrive and to walk in his way and to know him, which is the greatest thing ever. It's not to be religious. It's not to look good. It's actually how the world works. Our problem, my problem included, is this. It's not that I don't love God enough. I don't understand how much he loves me. Because if you understand how much God loves you, it changes how we respond to his instructions. And so as we walk through this and as we understand this, know this, everything that God says, everything that he tells us that is in wisdom literature and all through the scripture is for our benefit, for our good, because he loves you. And he wants something for his kids that is awesome and great. And that's to know him and to walk with him. So let me just go through really quickly what wisdom is. Wisdom is not just what you know, it is what you show. Let me explain that. There are a lot of smart people with really high IQs who act the fool, right? Anybody ever encounter one of these people? Just brilliant. Just, I mean, you can just ask them anything, and they have some type of answer. They're way up in big, huge brains. But then they go to apply this thing, and they're goofy. And they do stupid things. They do foolish things. When I was in college, I had really two groups of friends. I had kind of the athlete friends that I hung out with, and then I had the academic friends that I hung out with. And I was not naturally an academic. That was not my natural bent. But I was like, I'm in college. I need to hang with these guys. I need to learn. And I met this guy. I won't tell you his name, but he is the smartest person that I've ever met to this day. And we were in college. This guy was brilliant. He could read a book, and then he would tell you what page it was on 3 years later. He was brilliant. Just brilliant. Like any subject matter you had, didn't matter if it was your specialty, he would know and understand and speak into it and be able to have an intelligent conversation and ask questions. Brilliance, right? Like a Renaissance man, brilliance. His best friend was also, he was smart, but he was a really, really hard worker. Super hard worker. Like the dude would get up every morning and type out his, we had Old Testament together. And I wrote 20 pages on the Old Testament for the class, and I got an A for my work. This guy wrote 320 pages, I kid you not, and it was the old dot matrix printers. This was going on for hours to get this thing printed off, and he handed it to the professor. So I got an A, and so we were in class together. I said, "What'd you get?" He's like, "I got an A," with a smiley face. Hard worker, though. I'll tell you this to this day, that one of them has two PhDs and an MBA, and the other does not. It wasn't the smartest guy. One has an incredible family. They live in an incredible neighborhood. He applied work ethic and wisdom to his life. The other one has two felonies by his name. They just applied life differently. One did not apply what he knew, and he was not wise in how he lived. The other, who was not as smart, applied his wisdom, the knowledge that he knew, to life, and it paid dividends. So wisdom is the application. Wisdom is not about your IQ. It's about what you choose. There's a key word in the book of Proverbs that flows all the way through. It's all about where you're headed. So decisions and direction always determine destination. So decisions and direction determine destination. Intention doesn't determine destination. What the Proverbs will tell us is that wishing upon a star will not get you very far. That's good. You can laugh. That's pretty good. Come on now. You can take that home. Wishing upon a star will not get you very far. If you could go anywhere in the world right now, let's just have a little fun. Anywhere in the world, where would you go? Anywhere in the world. You'd go to Egypt, Jerusalem, Arizona. It's warm there. That's nice. Yeah. Cedar Point. I don't think it's open right now. It's too cold, man. Going down those, you'd get frostbite, man. That'd be cold. But okay, you can go to Cedar Point. So back in 2000, I read a book called Into Thin Air. Anybody else read that by John Krakauer? So good. And I got convinced that I was going to go to Everest. It's about Mount Everest. It's about 1996. There was a huge accident on the mountain. 8 people died, and I thought, this is incredible. And so I started to read everything I could about Everest. I read about Sherpa life, Sherpa culture. I read about everything I could because I was convinced that I was going to go to Everest someday. Do you know how much it is to go to Everest? It's a lot of money, right? But I will tell you this. I can still tell you some things about Everest. I can tell you that it grows a little bit every year. I can tell you that at 17,000 feet above sea level, you are at base camp. I can tell you about the Hillary Step. I can tell you that the next camp, because you got to acclimatize. If you didn't acclimatize, if you didn't go up the mountain in a gradual sense, if we just took you right now and we dropped you on top of Mount Everest, you would live for about 3 minutes and then you would suffocate because there's only 1/3 of the oxygen that we have here right now. It's not wise to go, right? There you go. I can tell you that at 20,000 feet, you're at Camp 1. I can tell you that at 26,000 feet, you're in the death zone. Your body is actively dying. I can tell you all of these things about it. I have knowledge of Everest. But guess what I've never done? I've never climbed it. I'll tell you another secret. I'm never going to. Sometimes I think this is how we treat church. We come to church. We sing some songs about God. We read our Bibles. But we don't make decisions that are connected to the destination that he wants for you and I. Because we don't apply it. Because decisions and direction always determine destination. And so if you want to walk with God, if you want to talk with God, if you want to walk through that narrow gate and walk on the path of God, you have to make decisions now, one step at a time, one right next move at a time. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. It's making decisions. It's applying this to our lives. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Wisdom is about decision. Wisdom is not what you know. It's what you show. Wisdom is also this. Wisdom begins with humility. When we say humility, we often think weakness, don't we? Because we're Americans, most of us, and we think, oh, if I show humility, that's a weak thing. Humility isn't weakness. Humility is embracing reality. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know how to live what you don't know, and so you have to ask some questions. Pride is the opposite. It's pretending. Pride is make-believe. Now, our English language is a little bit limited in this, and so there are things that we should take pride in. You should brush your teeth and comb your hair every day. You should take pride in your appearance. That's a different way of pride. I'm talking about false pride. I'm talking about this idea that we've got it all together. Guess what? None of us have it all together. We need God. We need his understanding. False pride is saying we've got it or pretending like we got it. I remember when I was a new pastor, a senior pastor, I was fairly young, and I had gone to seminary, and they taught me how to write a sermon. Notice what I said there, a sermon. Guess what happens with great regularity? Sunday comes almost every week, doesn't it? And so I took this job, and I had about 4 sermons in my back pocket, and they were pretty good. And I preached those 4, one to get the job, so now I'm down to 3. So I'm at week 3 of this job, And I go in, and I've used my last sermon, and I went, I don't know what I'm doing. They're going to find out I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have anything to say. I sat down, God, what am I going to do? I had nothing in that. Yeah, I could have pieced something together, but it was very stressful. Very, very stressful. Because they didn't teach us how to create sermon series, how to move. They taught us how to take a Bible passage and break it down and create one sermon. Well, there's 52 weeks in a year. That's a lot of breaking down one sermon without direction. And so I was feeling pretty good for those first 4 weeks, but that had run out, and I didn't have anything to say. And I went, God, what am I supposed to do? So what I did was this. I humbled myself and said, I don't know what I'm doing. But I didn't tell the congregation. I went to other churches, and I began to call their senior pastors and said, hi, you guys do some great sermon series. Can you show me how you do that? These are guys I met with before, and you know, I'm the new kid on the block. And I said, could I just come and learn from you? And guess what? They taught me how to do this stuff. They let me sit in their staff meetings as they brainstormed. They let me go into their notes, and they sent me notes of how they do it and what they look. It was great. And I learned how to do it. But without humility, I would have never learned that. I would have faked it for a while. But that's false pride. That we have it all together. We don't, and we need to learn. In that passage, he talks about the young. Well, you don't have it all down when you're 21, just so you know. I know some of you are 21, and it's great. You don't have it all down. And you can ask questions. It's okay. People want to share their knowledge. Wisdom is about humility. And the question, I think, for all of us is, where are you pretending in your life? Where are you pretending that you got it all down? That you know how to walk in the ways of wisdom? Where are you pretending that everything's okay? Those are questions at 4 a.m. that I was asking myself. I'll tell you one other story in the humility of this, that my wife sometimes is so brilliant. We were not doing so well. This is a while back. We're not doing so well financially. I mean, we were young and we didn't have that much money. But I love at Christmas time to give gifts. I think it's so wonderful to give gifts. I think it's fun to do it. I like to get and think about the person. I'm not talking gift cards here. I'm talking like, hey, what does this person want? And then get it for them. And I'm so excited for them. It's so wonderful to see them open the gift. And you guys experience this hopefully at Christmas time of giving gifts. It's wonderful. And so I had brought a kind of a list of things I wanted to get for people that we care about and we love. And my wife looked at it and she said, those are nice, but I don't think we should do that. And I said, well, why? Like, this is what they want. And I understand that. But Levi, what are you trying to do if we don't have the money to do that? I said, well, we have a little bit of credit. We can pay it off later. And she said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And I said, why? And she said, because what you're doing is you're trying to elevate yourself or us into a place of who we are really not. I said, that's not nice. But she was right. She was right. That was wisdom talking out of her. I was trying to live in pride of like, man, I want to get them exactly what they want. And it sounds like I'm the generous one. She was the wise, generous one. We lived within our means in that. And we've kind of lived that out in our lives because of her wisdom. So one of the things in this is, this is, if you're on the map of direction, right? If you're going somewhere, there's always this spot if you're at Cedar Point, 10-4, there's a spot, a map there, and it says, you are here. And if you want to get to the roller coaster over there, you got to go this way, right? right? That's how life works too. In that moment with my wife, we were here. I wanted to be over here financially, but we were here. That takes some humility to go, this is where we're at on the map in all areas of our life. To go, this is where we're going. Because then when you admit that, this is where we're at, you can start to take the steps to move in the direction that God has called you into, that you want to go. But without that, you're living in pride. You're living in a false reality. You're not living what God has called you into. You need to know where you're on the map. I think that's the hardest thing to do in our lives. We have a couple of areas of our life, and I'm just always, or a couple of things here in our lives that I, of our church that I think are just so incredible. Wisdom starts with humility. And I will tell you, when we started CR, I thought, I ain't no one going to come to this. Maybe we'll have three or four people. No one's going to come and admit that they got issues. Man, God did some really cool things, and people were humble, and they walk into that thing. I don't actually know, I will just tell you that, who's in there, but I do know numbers on that, and there's many people that walk in there, and they humble themselves and go, hey, I need help in this. I'm right here, right now, at this starting point, and I'm going to take a step in this direction. We have a marriage class coming up. And I just want to, I love this thing. I've listened to the book. It is so incredible. It is so good. It's so fantastic. And I want to tell you this a little bit about Tim Keller in just this moment. He pastored a church. They had 4,000 people. 3,000 of them were single when he wrote this. If you are single, thinking about marriage, if you're going, man, marriage is an archaic institution, I don't think I should ever do this, this is a class for you too. If you have been married for 72 years, this is a class for you. If you've been married for 5 years. But part of it is going, man, I need to humble myself to walk into this class, and none of us have this all down. I will tell you, my wife and I are going through this book, and we're reading this book, and I'm going all the time, oh my goodness, did I mess up? 25, almost 25 years of marriage. And I'm like, ooh, I do not have this down. But this is helping me to go, this is where you're at. What's the next step of wisdom? And so I want you to sign up for this. I want to push this. We have incredible facilitators in there. And I talked to them this past weekend. This is what they said. Wow, that was convicting. We're all in this together, folks. And so I just want to invite you again. You can sign up for that. You can sign up for that at that. You can come to CR also. I just want you to know that wisdom starts with humility. The last point that I'm going to make, because I'm so out of time, is this. Wisdom grows with the wise. Wisdom grows with the wise. If you want to grow in wisdom, if you look at this passage, it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. You take one step in the right direction. God gives you the next step, and guess what? You grow in your wisdom. So if you are wise in areas of marriage and you just need a fresher up, go to that. There's lots of ways that we can grow in our wisdom. One of the ways that we grow, one of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through his word. If you're not reading, I'm going to give you another challenge. We're going to put this up. Can we put the reality reading? If you're not involved in this, we really want you to, because we want the word of God to wash over your lives. You're going to read one chapter of Proverbs. And usually we read a couple chapters, and you might be going, well, why are we only reading one? You know, that doesn't seem like enough, because Proverbs is hard. That's why. And we want you to soak it in. We want you to hold on to it. We're going to give you 6 days of Proverbs, and then you're going to get a break day. You can read the 6 days if you want. On Sunday, we're going to have a break day, or a catch-up day for some of you. And you're going to be able to interact, because we want wisdom to go into it. We don't want you just to know things. We don't want you just to say, well, I've read Proverbs. No, we want you to apply Proverbs, because we want all of us to be wise. And so we want this to wash over you. If you're not not reading the scripture, we're going to send you some great prompts to do this. We're going to send you some things to help you, some insights into this, some value add to this. 906-287-4300. Hit reality on that. We'll get you signed up for that. Sign up on there. Why? Because the word of God always has our best interest in mind. Back to James. And we'll close with this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God, we thank you for that promise. We ask for wisdom today. God, I ask for myself that I would walk in your ways, that I would know how to walk in your ways, that I wouldn't just live simply or foolishly, but I would live wisely, that I would understand what you want for me because I understand how much you love me. I pray that for my friends too. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for giving us the reality of the truth of how this world works. Let us live and walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen.